of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, there's no other name, my Lord. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, there's no other name, my Lord. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, there's no other name, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So, Sister Lavinia, I went today to get my portrait taken at the shipyard photographer for 40 years with my employer. Amen. That's awesome. They call it Distinguished Shipbuilder at Electric Boat. They call it Master Shipbuilder at Newport News Shipbuilding, who is my employer. So I took off at lunchtime after the photographer took his picture, and went and took my father-in-law and my wife and my granddaughter out to lunch and had a giant piece of meat. Said, give me the biggest one you got. Anyway, so I've been having a really good day. Praise the Lord. Amen. A master, yeah, I'm now considered a master shipbuilder. Praise the Lord. If they would just ask me, I could tell them how to run that place. I'm laughing too. I'm laughing with you. Praise the Lord. It's all good, though. It's all good. Amen. God is very, very good. Amen. Galatians, I want a comment just before I start. I hear regularly, Monday night, other times, pray for the backslider. How many people have ever prayed for a backslider? I think probably everybody. Everybody in our churches prayed for backsliders. Now, if you just count the people that have repented and been baptized in Jesus' name and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you just count those that have went that far in this church, there are hundreds, multiples of hundreds of those people living out in our community that have had that experience in this church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm convinced that God is going to draw people back to Him. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Wayward sons, wayward daughters, wayward husbands, wayward wives, wayward friends are going to come to a realization that I still need God. Amen. Praise the Lord. My topic tonight is restoration. So I've got 57 minutes, 56 minutes till 8:30, and I'm probably going to use that whole time giving you verses on how the church is involved in that process. Okay? Bible study night, chock-a-block full of verses, but it's on this: restoration. Somebody say that with me. Restoration. God wants to restore people to Himself. Amen. He wants wayward people to come back in the way. Amen. He wants the lost to be saved. Amen. And it is the church's obligation, the saint, amen, to help in that process. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 6, beginning to read at verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But every man prove his own work, and then shall ye have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. And 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Again, my topic is restoration. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, we're asking, Lord, that we would comprehend what your word has to say. I pray that you'd help me, Lord, that as I've looked into your word, as these, Lord, in this Bible study, God, as it portrays your word on this subject, God, help me to teach it. Help your word, Lord, to get into our heart and help us, God, to understand it. Lord, that in the name of Jesus and by the Holy Ghost, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to be in your kingdom right before you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Sorry about that. I could feel my whistle getting dry already, and that's not a good sign. Believers are not eternally secure in Christ. They can backslide. They can stop serving the Lord. You know, there are some in the world that would have you say, once saved, always saved, and, you know, I'm eternally secure. No, if you go back to sin, you're in sin. That's what the Word of God says. You know, I got to be honest with you. I got to tell you what the Word says. Amen. We have to be careful. We have to walk with the Lord. We have to purposefully serve Him. Amen. It is possible to fall from the grace of God. God wills that all men would repent. Everybody should come to repentance. And then after repentance, we are to be born again. You know, we're to have that Acts 2:38 experience and remain. Someone say remain. Remain in Christ. Keep living for God. Amen. See, sin is strongly condemned in the life of the saint of God. We should not, Bible clearly tells us, we should not go about purposefully sinning. Right. We need to stop the mess and serve the Lord. Come out from among them, saith the Lord. Right? So I'm not trying to misconstrue the power of temptation. Satan wants to tempt every one of us, especially the saint. Wants to trip you up, want to make you believe a lie. So Satan is against us. The world is against us. Your own carnal nature and flesh is against you. You want to do things because you're human. Oh, I'm tired. I'm going to stay home from church. I heard that already today. You know, don't. If you send me a text to say, I'm tired, I'm going to stay home today, well, I've been told. It's not okay with me. If you're asking my permission, I do not give you permission to stay home if you're tired. Come to church and be refreshed. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to be uplifted in God. The best, if you're tired and weary, and you, best thing you can do is come to church. You will feel better.
That's right.
Amen. So, I've been told, I got the text, I'm too tired to come today. No, I'm not letting anybody look at my phone to see who I'm talking about, and I'm not going to tell you. But we need to, it's an active effort on our part to live for God. Amen. It's going to continue to be effort to live for God. Now, it's the best life that, my life is way better now than it could have ever been living in the world. I am blessed beyond measure. I perhaps am the most blessed person that I know. I could start the whole rest of the service. I could tell you how blessed I am. God is good. God is good. This is not an excuse, but a fact of life. You may fall into sin. It's possible. I hope you don't. But we got to be aware that you could fall into sin. Our souls, with the Acts 2:38 experience, with our experience in God, our souls are cleansed, they are purified. We are saved from sin by the Bible salvation message, the Acts 2:38 salvation plan. It changes us. But we still live in a body. We're still human. And we still have a carnal nature that we're born with that I have to overcome. True believers are constantly striving to live free from sin. Constantly. Every single day. We do not believe that we are eternally saved at any particular moment. We need to go on living for Jesus to remain saved. We walk in newness of life. I don't walk like I used to walk. I don't go places I used to go to. I don't do the things I used to do because I live for Jesus Christ. Because I choose a different path. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everything in my life became different when I got saved, when I started walking for Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, we are to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, walking holy before the Lord. Sounds so simple, but it's hard. We got to work at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let me begin to read there at verse 14, reading down through verse 1 of the next chapter. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It doesn't matter if you've been around the church for 2 days, 2 years, 2 decades. You're still working on this. I've been around the church for a long time. Amen. I was baptized when I was 11 years old. And I still got to work on it. I got to work on keeping that flesh under subjection. I got to work on my relationship with God. I still got to work on understanding His Word. If you've read the Bible 100 times, God bless you, you're getting pretty close to getting some understanding. You're on your way. Amen. There's more to go, though. You're not done yet. Amen. You see, the born-again experiences accomplishes this when we walk in obedience to God's word. I want to say that new convert hadn't got a clue on how to live for God. But when they come into the house of God, have an experience with God, receive a born-again experience with Him, right then, they come out of the water speaking in tongues. That person is perfect at that moment in the sight of God. Amen. And it's their obligation from right then, while their clothes are still dripping wet, to start learning about the things of God. Amen. And it's still our job to keep learning about the things of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Believers error. Believers can err and be overtaken in a fault. And many have. That's why today there's not 600 people in our church. Because many have errored. Fallen away. They've had a relationship with God, and then the devil or the world or their flesh or any number of things drew them away to something else. Now, how do we deal with this very dilemma? Does one failure doom you to hell? Can a failing saint be forgiven? Can one be restored to the favor of God and man? Yes, of course. God wants us. God is so quick to forgive us. God wants us to be restored to Him. The problem is not on God's side. God has His plan all figured out. He wants to forgive us. It's we that have erred, that have gone astray, that have made mistakes, that need to get figured out how to get back right with God. God is ready right now to forgive you. God wants you to be restored to Him. My topic is restoration. God's got the restoration part all figured out. It's ready for you right now. Every one of those people that have ever had that experience, God is ready today to restore them. Amen. All of them. Believers are commanded not to sin. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We got to come out of sin. I shouldn't even have to say that, but the Word of God clearly says it. We're to come out from sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. No, God does not want you to sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. I tell you, God has the plan all figured out on His end. God has it completely in order on His side. God's grace teaches us that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. That's what He wants us to live like. Amen. Titus chapter 2. Verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Not when we're in heaven in the holy city, New Jerusalem. Not, you know, after we're raptured in the church. But now, in this world, this life, where we are today, God wants us to live soberly, righteously, godly. Amen. First John chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1 down to verse 10, I'm going to read that a bit. It gives an explicit set of instructions to believers concerning sin. The Word of God can say so much more than my rambling. So let me use the Word of God for teaching. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, I'm waiting. That's going to be a great day. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope, you got that hope? Man, I'm going to see Jesus one day, face to face. I'm going to see him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have that hope. And every man that hath this hope, in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And that's something, I can't do it for you. You can't do it for your spouse. You cannot do it for your children. You cannot do it for anybody else. But you can do it for you. Amen. Verse number 4. Whoso committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. If you go against the things that are in the Bible, it's called sin. Okay? And ye know, verse 5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So scriptures clearly tell us, God does not want us to go on sinning. But here we are at the same dilemma. People are in the flesh. People are carnal. People have a human nature. And our human nature causes us to be apt to fail, to do it wrong, to believe our own thought process. Oh, I think I'm okay. What you think doesn't even matter. What the Word of God says matters. Find out what the Word of God says, and then you can be right. Amen. If believers sin, that's where I'm going here. God, knowing our weaknesses, and he does, has provided a Bible method for handling the sin problem. In every saved person's life, salvation doesn't give us a glorified body. It's not that you can't sin after that born-again experience. You can. You're able to. It's just you're not supposed to. Satan bombards us with temptation. You're not exempt from temptation because you had a born-again experience. Satan is still going to tempt you. You're still living in the flesh. Jesus Christ knew our human sin problem, and he provided his perfect plan. He is how we handle sin. And he is how we come back from sin to him again. Repent. sounds so easy, but the devil wants to confuse you. Well, how can I come back when this and that and your other 100 reasons? Forget the 100 reasons. Call on God. None of those reasons are worth going to hell over. Jesus Christ knew that problem. In his redemptive plan, he also made provision for the restoration. Someone say restoration. God made a way for us to be restored when we fail, when we err, when we go astray. God has a plan to bring us back. You see, our responsibility is to walk holy before the Lord. We are to make our very best effort to live rightly before God. These scriptures are presented to the sincere, faithful child of God. Not to the insincere, not to the dishonest, or to the loose living, or the hypocritical individual. You know, these scriptures that I'm referring to today, they're for the believers. Amen. They're trying to keep us in Jesus Christ. Amen. To not fall away. Amen. In Ezekiel, it's a lot of reading, so I'm just going to tell you the little story. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 to 21, and then chapter 33, verses 7 to 19. So it's a bunch of reading. Ezekiel is identified as the watchman to Israel. You know, he's the prophet. He is telling Israel how to serve God, how to please God, and what to do for God. Amen. He's laying it out to the children of Israel. That was his commission by God. You see, the ministry today fills that role. If I don't tell you how to be saved, that you got to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and be filled with the Holy Ghost and live a holy life, if I don't tell you these things, then God will hold me personally responsible for your blood. But man, I want you to go to heaven too. I want to go to heaven. So I got to tell you. Amen. Praise the Lord. It falls to the ministry today. If you are a minister of Jesus Christ, to these that are licensed ministers, you got to work on telling people the truth. You got to tell them what the Word of God says. Amen. It's our job. It's what God has commissioned us to do. We are responsible as ministers to warn. Otherwise, the blood of those people that are before us, that hear us, are on our hands. If you're a preacher and you're saying, oh, just say this prayer and you're saved, the blood of the people that you're saying that to is on your hands. Because that's not what the Word of God says. That's a lie. That's a lie that Satan wants you to believe. All you do is say this little prayer and I'm saved. I'm eternally saved. That's a lie from hell. I'm telling you. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm trying to get you to heaven. Praise the Lord. If any man sin, now we read 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We read that already. It is written to believers. First, we are warned not to sin. But if we do, if we sin, God has made provision for correcting the sin and for us to have a path back toward Him. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. our way back to God is to repent and trust Jesus Christ. Don't stay down. Get up, get yourself back to living for God. And he is the propitiation, it says in verse number 2, for our sins. And not for ours only, but for also for the sins of the whole world. God wants everybody to be saved. He wants every soul that has ever lived to know him. Heaven, the holy city, New Jerusalem, is big enough to hold every single soul that has ever been born from Adam to the end. There's enough room for everybody. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. I'm going to explain that in just a minute. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that ye shall pray for it. Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. A sin unto death. If you live your whole life and don't repent, unrepentedness is not forgiven. A sin unto death, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Matthew chapter 12. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Now we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Advocate comes from the Greek word, which I don't read Greek real well. So if there are any Greeks in here, then I mispronounce my Greek dictionary phonetically. P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. Here goes my attempt. Parakletos, meaning an intercessor, counselor, comforter. Amen. Jesus Christ is interceding for us. He is there to help us. Propitiation comes from the Greek word H-I-L-A-S-M-O-S. Hilasmos. I don't know if that's right or not. It's Greek. If you look it up in the Bible dictionary, you can see it there. It meaning is atonement. Or an expiator. He has to do with one who propitiates or reigns the, or regains the goodwill or favor of one who is unhappy with us. Jesus Christ is our high priest, advocate, intercessor, propitiation. We are to pray for our erring brother that he not sin a sin unto death. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning to read there at verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by the Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You stub your toe and your whole body knows I'm hurting. Try to walk back through the dark bedroom at night, kick the bedpost as you get, ow! Your whole body knows. You know, if the least of the members in the church, the body, is injured or hurting or down or they need help, it's felt in the whole body. Verse number 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacketh. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Everybody that has had this spectacular, wonderful, amazing salvation experience in Jesus Christ is a part of the body of Christ. It's not the membership role of Apostolic Lighthouse. That's not it. I'm not talking about this local assembly. But the body of Christ. We are members of the body. And as a body is tempered together, preventing a schism and providing care for each member. When I take a shower in the morning, I wash my feet as well as my hair. You know, everything. Everything's all cleaned up at one time. Take care for the whole body. Everybody in the body of Christ, every believer should have a part in the kingdom of God. God has a purpose for the what seems like the least of them in the body. I believe my fingernails have a purpose in my body. I don't hardly ever think about them unless they're getting a little long, I got to cut them. But you know what? Every child, every grandparent, every mom, dad, boy, girl, everybody in the body of Christ has a place that God has for you. So we need to care for that body. The church should restore those members of the body that are hurting or erred, made a mistake. They have gone astray. We should help them, care for them if they are spiritually weak. Help them Don't cast them down, but pick them up. Help them concerning the things and the manner of the Word of God and the household of God. Help them come back to church. You see, James confronts the brethren, members of the body of Christ, if you will. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. It says, brethren, if any of you err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know, it doesn't matter where that person's been for the last 2 years. They need to come back to the house of God. They are welcome back into the body of Christ. Amen. It's our job to make them feel welcome. And it doesn't matter that they borrowed money from you before. Forget that. That don't matter. Forget about that. Well, don't, hey, where's my 50 bucks? Forget that part, all right? I tell you what, think of it this way. You gave them that money. Amen. Went from your hand to theirs. They grabbed onto it and you let go of it. Say goodbye. That money's gone. Don't ever even mention it again. If that person feels convicted about it and they... Who knows, one day they might say, hey, you remember that 2 years ago? If they ever do that, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you very much. But don't count on it. Do what you can do, because you looking at them across the aisle, oh, man, I remember that. I owe that person money. And they going right out back the door. Don't chase them away. They need to hear the preaching. They need to hear what God has to say to them. They need to know that they are forgiven. Amen. God forgives sin, not you. But you need to forgive them. Amen. James confronted that. We have the responsibility to the erring brother, to the person who is backslidden. From the Greek word, again, P-L-A-N-A-O. I'm not quite sure. Plano, meaning to roam from safety, from truth, go astray, wander. That's what people do. They go astray. They wander. They've been missing from church. They've separated themselves from the household of God. Well, God wants them to come back. God wants to forgive them. God has his plan already. All they got to do is repent. And tell you what, that sin's gone. All right. You're back, child. I forgive you. God knows how to forgive people. He doesn't have that problem. He wants to forgive people. He just ask him and he'll forgive you. Amen. That's how good God is. If you make a mistake, don't be stupid and live outside the church. Don't be carnal and think, oh, I don't need that. You know what? I need God. I need God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter, Paul approaches the church identifying two persons. In this verse, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, Galatians 6, verse 1. Yep. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, that I hope is us. I hope that's you. You're spiritual, right? You love Jesus. I worship him. I praise the Lord. I want to be in church. I love God. He's talking to the people in the church. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You might make a mistake one day too. Be careful. You might need to come back to the household of God yourself one day. Amen. The restorer is a brother, is spiritual, is meek. He considers himself and bears the brother's burden. And also, that's the restorer, that's the person that's in the church. The restored, the one who made the mistake, the wayward child, the erred person, the guy who made the mistake, is a brother, is tempted, got overtaken in a fault, became unspiritual, and became under the burden of sin. Restore means to repair, mend, or mending nets, setting bones, or reconciling frictions. Overtaken means to take advantage or take advance, surprise, take unawares. Some people weren't aware that what they're getting into is sin. The world thinks it's okay, but it's not okay in God. Fault means to fall beside, to miss the mark, a false step, a blunder, a failure. Just because they failed does not mean they are lost. They need to repent. They need to come back to God. And we, the church, the spiritual ones, should help them come back to God. Amen. Our responsibility to our brethren. We need to remain spiritual. We need to be on guard against temptation. And we need a proper spirit while restoring the person who's erred. Amen. Keep our attitude in God. Amen. God's word instructs us how to deal with the error in our lives, as well as the lives of others. God cares so deeply for us. He has his plan all worked out. He doesn't cast us away nearly as quickly as man does. You know, man wants to remember the fault. Oh, I know what you did before. You know what? You need to forgive them. Help them to find God again. You know, brethren can help eliminate the stumbling blocks for them to coming back to be saved. We are able to help them solve the error of their way. The responsibility rests with us in reconciling those who have aught against us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 24, leave thy gift at the altar and first be reconciled. You know, we got to make it right between them. I'm trying to hurry because there is no way I'm going to get... That's all right. God's method for correcting trespasses and faults between brethren. Number one, go to your brother, go to that person, one-on-one, and talk to them. That sounds pretty easy, pretty reasonable, doesn't it? That's where we start. And then go to thy brother. If that doesn't work, go to thy brother with two or three other witnesses. Then if that doesn't work, then you got to bring it to the church. And if the brother refuses to repent, then let him be as a heathen. But that's the plan on how God to reconcile. Normally, you do the one-on-one thing. Love you, bro. Come on back to church. Amen. Most of the time, the first step fixes it. Amen. But we got to be willing to take that step. Amen. Amen. Prayer is made for our brethren that sin. 1 John 5, 16-17, Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith would fail not. Samuel prayed for Saul even when God had rejected him. We need to pray for that fallen person. Every effort to restore the erring, that's a hard word to say. The person who made the mistake, we should pray for them. Amen. Jesus instructs us on how to treat our brethren when he trespasses against us. Then that person repents. If he did something wrong in the past and repents, wants to come back to God, Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. That's what the Bible says. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent. Man, that'll test your that'll test your Holy Ghost. Thou shalt forgive him. Do you read that part in Scripture? That after that, the end of that sentence, thou shalt forgive him. That's what the Word of God says. We are a part of restoring people to Jesus Christ. When they repent, forgive him. God does the forgiving of the sins, but we got to let it be right between us. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. God forgave you, you forgive them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father, which also is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye forgive not, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. The Word of God is very clear. It's not even really a choice. We just need to obey the Word of God. We're not allowed to keep grudges. We're not allowed to keep hating somebody. That's not allowed. You got to get rid of that. You got to forgive them. You got to let God help you get over it. Amen. I had in here about people suing each other, and I got examples in the past of people doing that in the church, and that's just awful. If you are a member of this church, I hope you read the bylaws, because it says in there, you're not going to sue a brother or sister. You sign in the bottom of the page. You can't do it. It's against the Word of God. Amen. Proverbs 18:19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Man, let's tear down that stuff. Praise the Lord. In conclusion, I'm jumping right to the end. God wants us to be overcomers, to walk in the spirit, to be spiritually minded and not error from truth. An individual spiritually declines when sin reigns in his life. I've heard so many times, well, I still love God. You're not going to church, you're not serving him, you're not doing right, you're out in sin. Well, I've been told, I'm not saying it's okay. You need to get back in church. Amen. Get back right with God. Right. Repent of your sin. Right. And God will forgive you. Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. Courage. It takes courage to do this. Both on our part and their part. Stand with me. I have two more places to read and I'm going to dismiss you. Micah chapter 7 verse 8. Micah 7 verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I'm not saying I'm perfect. But I know God can help me. Yes. Amen. Right. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. I'm ending with this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Amen. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Even when you make a mistake, get back right with God. He's ready to hold you up. He's ready to lift you up. He's ready to get you out of that sin mess that you might have gotten yourself in. He's ready to forgive you. He's ready to bring you back. Love him with me, would you? Lord, I love you, Jesus. I praise you. I worship you. I adore you. Wonderful Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan, God, both to save us and, Lord, to keep us saved, to restore us when we fall, to pick us up when we're down. Lord, to restore us unto your loving glory, God. Thank you, Lord, for your promises, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for restoration. In Jesus' precious name. Wonderful God, I worship you. Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, I worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Just by way of closing announcement, I've got a trailer in the back that belongs to the neighbor. And he's promised to bring it to my house if I'll just fill it up. I can't do it on Friday. I got to go to a granddaughter's piano recital. And Saturday is supposed to be rainy. So the only time I have to do it is tomorrow evening. If there's anybody that is willing to help me load a trailer with some chunks of wood, tomorrow evening, 5 to 7. Somewhere like a couple hours, I'm thinking. Anyway, if you can make it, God bless you. Thank you for helping. If you can't, thank you anyway. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.